Oh yeah. Oh, you did it. You clicked on the Osway Bar podcast, a podcast dedicated to growth. We know we're not supposed to be stuck. We're designed to grow and be all that God has called us to be. We post every Monday and Wednesdays. Monday's a segment I call Monday Message. This is where your messages for me. Wednesday segment, that's one of my favorites. This is a segment called Wednesday's Word from the Wise. This is where I get to sit down with amazing guests and draw from their wisdom, experiences, and anointing, all for the purpose of growing. So if you're ready, I said if you're ready, growth fanatics, let's do it! All right, welcome back, everyone. We're so glad you guys are here with us on this lovely Wednesday. I'm sorry, guys. All right. I'm here with Judah. And so Judah, if you don't know him, brings a lot of joy and laughter into the room. And so, like, this is the most terrible intro I've ever done, guys. So please forgive me. I'm not going to hit pause anymore. We're done. We already did it once. We're not going to do it again. This is Wednesday's Word from the Wise. Relax. Breathe in. All right. But really, the topic of today is to learn from Judah Bryant. Judah Bryant is the, he's not pathetic, he's prophetic, and he's pretty awesome. He's actually a really good friend of mine. He spells his name like my mom. I love that. And he's just a really good friend. We were actually roommates for a very short season, very, very short season, but he's great. And when people, it's so funny because people mix us up sometimes. Like, I was at Guest Central at Freedom Church. So shout out if you guys ever want to come check us out, come do it. But anyways, I remember some lady was just like, yeah, we talked on the phone. And I'm like, oh, I have no idea who you are. And she's like, no. We talked on the phone. You're Judah, right? I'm like, no, that's the other big guy. All right. It's not me. But anyways, Judah, he operates in prophetic, very, very strong. So I think, you know, it's going to be amazing to learn from him in these aspects. And so real quick, Judah, will you just introduce yourself and just for those who don't know you and just share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Like you said, my name is Judah. I've been saved. I'm 29 now, so I've been saved pretty much half my life, a little over now. And I'd say dabbled in the prophetic since day one, just because that was the church I was in, the youth I was in. The youth pastor was really pushing it in a very healthy way, very strong way. And so I've always grown a passion, for that gift. And I want to see people walk in it because I think it's a vital gift. I don't think it's like, oh, there's a ranking of the gifts, but mm-hmm. I think prophecy is such an important gift for us to understand and operate in.
Yeah, no, that's really good, man. Judah's pretty awesome, guys. And again, if you guys don't know him, phenomenal. You post videos on Facebook all the time, don't you? Like every now and then?
Every now and then, yeah. I'm trying to get more consistent.
Yeah, prophetic sure. People aren't that consistent, guys. They're just all over.
We're doing our best.
But I encourage you guys to friend him on Facebook, man, Judah Bryant. He'd be a good friend to have in your corner for sure. But, man, let's dive right into this, man. Mm-hmm. Like, let's talk about the prophetic. What is prophecy? You know, I think a lot of people get mixed up with what that is. Is it fortune telling? Is it telling the future? Is it encouragement? What is it?
Yes. Amen. It's all those. I mean, I like to try to keep things really simple. Prophecy, what are you doing when you're prophesying? You're relaying something from God, right? Anything else is just manipulated and messed up. But simply, prophecy, you're relaying what you're hearing from God. That's the simplest way I can put prophecy. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think everybody can prophesy.
Yeah.
Everybody should be able to speak what the Lord's telling them.
Yeah.
And now sometimes there are prophetic words. And we know the scripture says that's to strengthen, edify, and encourage.
Yeah.
And you know, really what's been on my heart today as I was meditating and asking the Lord what he wanted to talk about. And I saw some of your questions, people overcomplicate the prophetic,
yeah.
Not just an explanation, but they think they have to hear the audible voice of God. It has to be so apparent, but we prophesy in part, scripture mm-hmm. says. And so it comes down to a lot of faith. It comes down to, am I willing to step out? Mm-hmm. And you grow in confidence over time. And I can encourage you. There's still times where I'm like, Lord, I want to make sure. Is this you?
Yeah.
Before I do it. And sometimes I go, Lord, I just trust you. This doesn't go against your word. I'm just gonna go with it.
Yeah.
And make it real simple. Whenever I was first coming up in the prophetic and growing in it, as a teenager, our youth pastor would just put somebody in the middle,
yeah,
surround them with people, and just whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you feel, just say it, and we'll go from there. And she would be able to be like, ah, that's off. That's a little bit weird. She'd be able to bring us back in. But we went from getting like little small pictures to like whole sentences for people.
Wow.
Really, like as people say nowadays, reading their mail, where we're getting those details.
Yeah.
And so it's always been such a good thing to me. But people always wonder, where do I start or how do I start?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you from my experience and learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
So when I was growing in that gift, I could give words to people so easily.
Yeah.
But what the Lord was saying for me was really hard to accept. And it actually affected, one, it made me giving words, it made my identity in that,
yeah,
at first. And so I would give words to feel better about myself and to feel like I was actually doing something for the Lord and contributing. But as I got older in the Lord, I began to challenge myself to accept what he's saying about me.
Yeah.
Because everybody hears him. There's not a person that's alive. Because before you're saved, you hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And after you're saved, you hear the loving words of the Father.
Yeah.
Right? So there's not a time you're not hearing from God.
Right.
We have to learn how to identify his voice and believe what, yeah, he says. And so what helped me is as I began to accept what the truth and the calling on my life, which I'm still doing to this day, because new things come and I have to accept that. As I do that, my words are clearer and there's nothing attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no fear,
right,
because fear is the fear of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being punished. I'm just learning. I'm growing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To give words and not even just give words, because there's, so with the prophetic, it's an interesting thing. People are still Old Testament prophets in the New Testament, and that's not how things work.
Yeah.
And they'll quote Amos 3:3. It says, the Lord will do nothing unless he first tells his prophets. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I hear you. That, yeah, was great for that time. But right. Hebrews 1:1. And many times, in many ways, he spoke through the prophets, but now he has spoken through his son.
Yeah.
And then we go into Revelation 19. It says this, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Mm.
And so there's a shift in the prophetic.
Yeah.
The reason the prophets had those words and they had to be right on,
yeah,
is because they were representing God.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
What they said, people looked at them and they were anointed by God to prophesy in that way. Now, I'm not going to demean prophecy and say people still don't prophesy like that.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is then they had the spirit poured on a few.
Yeah.
Now we have the spirit poured on all flesh. Mm-hmm. And so we all can prophesy. And both Moses and Paul,
yeah,
said, I wish that you would all would prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the heart behind that?
Yeah.
They're hearing God.
Wow.
And so the most important thing is not that, I don't want you leaving this, listening to this and go, man, now I'm going to try to get up all these words for all these people. Get it for yourself. Let's get revelation and understanding of who we are.
That's good.
For ourselves.
Yeah.
And then once we get that and we see, okay, this is how you see me, Lord, right, and you have no favorites.
Right.
Okay. This is how you see other people.
Right.
You know, when I first began to prophesy, and my youth pastor, she had an itinerant ministry and she'd take me with her and she'd let me stand up there and people would come up and all I could say is God loves you. But it would be with such a conviction and a reality,
yeah,
of his love, because I was experiencing that love for myself.
Yeah.
And so when I was saying it for people, one guy joked and he's like, yeah, all these other people are giving all these long prophetic words and you get to Judah and he's just like, oh, God loves you so much. And, but he's like, but when he says it, you can tell the genuine, how you can feel the love of God,
yeah,
when he says it. And so there's, the prophetic now is even more important.
Yeah.
Because then they were the message carriers of God.
Yeah.
But we are the image bearers now, mm-hmm, of God. That's why in Ephesians 4:5, one of the Ephesian chapters, he talks about how we're supposed to come to the fullness of the knowledge of the image,
yeah,
of the Son. And when Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father.
Yeah.
That's the most prophetic statement you can make, is when you look like Jesus.
Yeah.
Because that's what they prophesied about. The prophets prophesied of the Messiah to come.
Yeah.
And now we are living epistles to be read and, mm-hmm, seen by others.
Wow.
And so the prophetic words are good and they're needed at times. But the prophetic person is needed more than anything else. Where our lives, when people talk with us, they go, you sound just like him.
Right.
You loved me just like him. You cared for me just like him.
Right.
And so the prophetic is even more beautiful nowadays than it was then.
Yeah.
Because we are not just speaking the words of God. We are looking like our Father in our new nature.
That's
and what he's called us to.
No, that's so powerful, Judah. Like, you know, I can hear someone asking right now, man, like, okay, it's hearing God, but I struggle with that. Like, I struggle hearing God. I don't understand that. I mean, what would you say to someone like right now that's feeling that?
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. How much are you getting in the Word? And I know that's an easy statement to say, but he's already spoken ample amount in his Word. We need to get in his Word. Yeah. We need to accept it for ourselves. We need to then read his Word and accept it. What he's saying is true. Over us.
Right.
You know, James talks about a double-minded man should expect to receive nothing from the Lord because he's like a ship tossed to and fro. And I dealt with that for a long time years ago. Mm. And I was like, Lord, what's going on? How do I get over someone deliverance? I got prayer for like 6 months. And then one day he came to me, he said, hey, Judah, you have two mindsets. Pick one.
Wow.
The other one's always going to be there, but you have to choose.
Yeah.
What you're going to think and what you're going to believe. The reason we struggle to hear the Lord is because we're valuing the words of the world, the words of our friends, the words of anyone but him.
Yeah.
And then we go to try to hear him and they're loud and he does not raise his voice.
Yeah. Right.
He speaks in that still small whisper. And so what I would encourage, get in the Word and daily choose to believe what he says.
Yeah.
And over time, it'll be so clear.
Yeah.
And sometimes your words, and I always encourage people, if you want to prophesy, read scripture over people. Wow. You can't get wrong with that. Read a verse over them, right? Because you're proclaiming what he's already said, what's already true, and you're starting there.
Hmm.
And you're building your trust and your faith, man. Because like even at the call center where I train people, I tell them, hey, trust the Holy Spirit to give you a verse. And they'll give them a verse and they'll be like, that's the verse I just read before I called in. Or that's my life verse. Or, you know, it's such an impactful thing.
Right.
The second part, because it ties in with this, is we need to get over ourselves.
Yeah.
Self-centeredness is truly the source of all grief. It's where we get so caught up in things because we overanalyze.
You know, right? That's so true, dude. Like, we were just doing a podcast earlier today and we were just hitting on that. It's just like, you know, when you want to go evangelize with someone, it's the fear of man. You know, you get afraid, you get scared, and really you eliminate and stop yourself from doing something and stepping out than, you know, just truly just trusting what the Lord has given you.
Yeah.
It's so true.
No, it is so good. And so that's where, when it comes to that, you just have to continue in it. Mm-hmm. Just like with anything else. And you have to throw your track record aside. And now as you grow more, you should keep record. There's accountability and everything. But as you're growing, then you can go up to someone and say, hey, I'm just trying to trust that I'm believing it. I believe that I'm hearing him. And this is what I'm hearing. And if that resonates, makes any sense, cool. If it doesn't, you can just toss it out. And we need to be okay in those times where people might be like, no, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. And then you just go, okay. Because it doesn't mean exactly that you missed it. Sometimes it could just mean that, one, it's a future thing. Two, they might be scared to even agree. I've given words to people, and then later on, when no one is around, they came up and said, hey, everything you said was right. I just didn't want to admit that in front of people. Now, one thing I want to get into after that, where you're growing and hearing the Lord, your gift is not your position. And
wait, someone needs to hear that again.
Yeah. So your gift is not your position. And where the Lord promotes is because you have character. And there's a lot, and one of your questions, what's a pet peeve in the prophetic community? You guys are weird, period. And you think you need to be because you saw Old Testament prophets. Well, one went around naked for like 3 years and one put his underwear in some rocks. And yeah, sure. And are there times where the Lord's going to be like, hey, give him a word like this. And it's going to be something peculiar. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's not the standard. The Lord is not just being weird just to be weird. Everything he did in the Old Testament had a sign and a purpose. But I feel like the prophetic community takes so much into signs and they overdo it when we don't need to overdo it and see a sign in everything or every number is something prophetic or things like that. And I hear your heart and you want to live a life where you're seeing God in everything. And I respect that, but people don't process things like you do. Right. And you have to learn, okay, how can I relay this, Lord, in a way that they're going to receive it? Because you might think, well, if there's something weird with it or interesting, they're going to remember it more, but they might be turned off more. But if you ask the Lord, how can I speak this in a way to where they're going to receive, and the Lord tells you how they receive, that's going to be kept more than anything else. And so I just encourage you, don't be scared of the prophetic because you're like, man, these people are weird. Every time I've gotten a word, they can't even get through English and they're in tongues and they're doing all these weird things and talking about peacock feathers and all this random weird stuff that I don't get. You don't have to be that way.
Yeah.
You can be pretty normal. I mean, I'm weird in general, just as a general person, but when it comes to the prophetic, I don't think I'm too weird.
Yeah.
I used to be when I ran with those crowds when I was younger. But as I grew up, as I was saying earlier, it all comes back to looking like Jesus.
Yeah.
And not even just making him relatable, because sometimes he wasn't relatable and people just didn't get him. And so that's okay. But let's just not overdo it. Let's just know that we are just the ones who are bringing that and relaying and showing Jesus to people. But it's not on us to have it perfect and down, because especially since we prophesy in part, as the word says.
Yeah. No, it's true. And Judah, you operate in such a powerful gift in the prophetic, man. It's honoring and it's really cool to see. And the thing that I love about you, Judah, is that your humility. Like, you know, being submitted under a pastor. Like, let's dive into that some, man, because there are times where, you know, I'm a pastor's kid, so I've seen a lot of weird things. And, you know, you get the prophetess who just says, well, I got a word, you know, and it's totally contradictory of what, you know, the belief is and what the church is standing for and just the kind of the even the gospel of what's being there. Like, how does, you know, one prophet who's going to, like, how have you humbled yourself and become someone of that? Like, how have you grown in your meekness?
Well, thank you for all that.
It's true. I'm not just buttering Judah up. Like, legit. Like, I remember even when Judah first came to Freedom Church, he was very like, I'm going to serve, you know, the very first time. Like, and I'm like, no, bro, like, come on, man. Just first enjoy the service and then you can serve next week. And
yeah.
He jumped right in it. But, and he didn't. You know, and this is something that, like, man, if people who are gifted, I won't just say it for prophets, but I'll just say it for people who are gifted. If you can follow after Judah's model, the thing that I love about him is that he didn't try to self-promote himself as the prophet and, hey, I'm gifted in this era. He just served by stacking chairs. It was awesome. So anyways,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, like I said, when I was first growing in this, my youth pastor was very prophetic and my church was, but our pastors were kind of reserved at times, especially with new people. So I was younger and I'd see these people stand up and just prophesy openly.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, I want to be able to do that. But they'd been there for like 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
They had shown themselves and proven themselves and have a good track record.
Yeah.
Cause I'd see other people who had just started coming, try to do that and they get shut down. And you might be like, oh, they're just trying to quench the spirit and what the spirit wants to do. Man, if the spirit's relying on just you,
yeah,
you might as well get on that cross and be our savior. because like as I would grow in this church, because they allowed the prophetic, clearly it was very evident,
right?
But they did have that where I would go to the pastor, whoever they had, like people call them the gatekeepers, whatever we want to call them. And I'd give the word, and I got turned down probably 99.9% of the time.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, why don't they do that? And I go back and sit with my mentor and he's like, good job.
Yeah.
Thank you for stepping out. Thank you for going up to them and being okay if they reject you. Because sometimes, and as I began to do that, and sometimes I would just hold it back and be like, okay, Lord, maybe this is just where you're bringing this meeting and I don't even need to say anything. And so I would actually get to watch and participate and be just a few steps ahead of knowing where it's going,
yeah,
because it wasn't all about me. Yeah. Because that's what that, it's not that your pastor is looking to be in control.
Right.
But there is something that we have to work through as the prophetic, as people that came before us messed things up. they gave a really weird feel to pastors, and pastors are very protective.
Yeah.
As someone who operates in the prophetic, but also has a pastoral heart, I understand this, where they're like, man, plus one, nobody knows you.
Yeah.
And you have to establish yourself. Like I said earlier, your gift doesn't give you position.
Yeah.
Right. It's your character. And when I learned that, I was like, well, then I'm just going to serve, forget my gift. And you know, the Lord during that season, he gave me people around me who I could give encouraging words to, give words to within the guidance of my mentor. And if the pastor ever said, hey, stop it, which he did a few times, I stopped it. And as I went to my next church, they were even a little bit more free, but luckily by that time I had a little more growth, but I still didn't. I just learned, don't go in saying I have this prophetic gift and everything. It's going to be seen.
Yeah.
People are going to see that as you go about your daily life. You're going to have words for people and the Lord will say it's okay, but you're not trying to go in, okay, every week I'm going to get a word for somebody because eventually the pastor is going to notice me and then eventually I'm going to become the prophet of the church. That's not how your heart should be at all. That's twisted.
Yeah.
Our heart should go in, how can I serve and how can I bless this church? Yeah. I stopped going to church for myself a decade ago because you shouldn't go to church for yourself. Mm. You know, and people say, well, you should go where you're getting fed. I hear that if you're a young believer. But if you've been in this for 20 years, I really hope you can feed yourself.
Yeah.
I really hope you know how to do those things and be mature.
Yeah.
Because then you should go, man, I have stuff to give this church. And sometimes like when I got here, like Josue said, when I first saw him, then I was like, I'm going to serve. Because I knew that's what the Lord's called me to do. How can I help this church? And I've told them ever since, and any position they give me, I'm like, you know, I'm good. I love to help them. I can help in this position, but I mean, I'll do whatever's needed because that's my heart, because the Lord will bring promotion. He'll highlight things. And so one of your questions was, you know, if you feel like the pastor is squashing these things, one, always check yourself. Always look at yourself and be like, man, am I being focused on myself and self-centered?
Yeah.
Like they're not recognizing my gift. Man, you're more than your gift.
Yeah.
You're more than those things. You have everything else to give. And then the first thing is, where do they truly need help?
Right.
Because they might not need help in the prophetic area.
Yeah.
They might need help, like you're saying, stacking chairs, being an usher, something so simple.
Right.
But if you do that, your character will show. And your character is like the integrity of the ship that you're riding in.
Mm.
And if your ship's not, and they can, you might be able to paint it, put a new coat on it. It looks good for a second, but that hole is going to make it sink.
Yeah.
But if you have that character, your gifting will just flow. And they know, man, when they give a word, I can trust their heart.
Yeah.
I can trust where they're going with these things. And so take some time back. And also, it may be, because like I was saying, there was times where I didn't give words for a while. And I would hear where the thing's going. And I'd just be able to witness and be like, Lord, man, if someone did need to give a word, I'd be like, Lord, give someone the confidence to give that word. And I would be able to pray and just have fun with the Lord. I remember I was at that same church I grew up in. They had a men's meeting. And I was so young and immature, I kept overtaking the meeting and I wasn't even leading it.
Wow.
And my mentor is like, hey, and he was honest with me. He's like, I need you to shut up. And he's like, next time you go, I don't want you to say a single thing. What you're doing, he's like, what you're doing is you can tell, because you're prophetic, you can tell where things are going.
Yeah.
And you think it's a word, you think you have something to say, but the Lord just wants you to participate in that moment and pray for that leader in that moment, because it's not about you. You know, if I go the rest of my life and don't give a word, I'll be okay. The thing is, just like Jeremiah, when it is a true word, it's like fire that shot up in my bones. And there, if I just give it, like at church with Pastor John, I'll just give it. He can do whatever with it.
Yeah, right.
Because it's not my church. It's not Freedom Church. I'm not the lead pastor. I've never been a lead pastor at any church I've went to, but I have the responsibility to steward where I'm at.
Jude, I love your humility, man. And it's so true. Like, one of the things that I want you guys to take note of is just rewind it a couple minutes, just where he talked about just his faithfulness in serving. Like, that's a key, and it's more than a key, because see, a key, you can open a door and then throw it away and you're like, I don't have to serve in that kind of capacity anymore. But like, being a servant, Like what Judah's talking about is like your heart and your identity is a son, but it's a servant. You're serving the Father. You're serving the local body. And that's what makes, you know, Judah operating in the prophetic awesome is because you see that even as when he get calls and when he gets called up. Like I remember there were multiple times where Pastor Tessa would just randomly, hey, Judah, you got a word? Come up here, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, that didn't happen right away, but, you know, in him proving his integrity. So Judah's not just saying something that, you know, sounds good or he got it from a book. He got it from the book, but like that's something that he lived. And so I just want to encourage you guys, if you want to grow in that, and it's similar, like even for me, I'm more of a teacher, you know, more of the pastoral teacher side of me. And even in that, like I didn't immediately go up to teach at all. You know, it was a lot of serving, a lot of just connecting and a lot of just being faithful. And so I just want to encourage you guys, like if you're in the local body, like, and you have a gift, be faithful, let your integrity be known, let your character be known, what Judah's sharing. This is really, really cool. And let me just ask this, Judah, kind of like switching topics a little bit, but what is the biggest misunderstanding of prophetic ministry?
It's a good question. I think I'd go back to what I said earlier.
Yeah.
Where we're talking about the understanding of what the prophetic is now in the New Testament. There's a lot of... There's a lot of people nowadays who they think they're in the prophetic office, and they may be, but they think they are the relayers of what God's doing in this next season. And then when they give a big word, like some of these prophets who I won't name, who gave a word that President Trump would win the second time, they never came back and said, hey, I missed it. They just said, he is president. There's things on the, and like their whole people that they were listening to totally went into this, and now it's been like 2 years and they still think, oh yeah, well this and that. And there's I don't want to get deep depth in that one, but the way the prophetic is now, people can have integrity to miss it.
Yeah.
And to be like, man, yeah, I gave that word and I felt it strong. Like I believed I had they could be like, I had a dream and everything. But there's one verse I always go back to that this is in the Old Testament. If you want to know how an Old Testament prophet should look, if you want to walk in this way, you can go ahead and use this verse. Let me find it real quick. I have a few here.
Yeah, as Jude's looking that up, I just encourage you guys. You know, I do this all the time on the podcast. Give shameless plugs for Freedom Church. If you want to see Judah operate in a deeper level, you got to see him as our Freedom Group's lead, man. So if you like small community, come and join. You guys like this plug. This is my little infomercial kind of deal. It's the first time I've ever done this. Judah just pulls it out of me, man. But anyways, you know, you can head to Freedom Church Colorado, and you can go to Freedom Church co.com and go to Freedom Groups, and you'll see the awesome groups that are happening. Eddie, if you guys remember him from the Deeply Rooted Ministries episode and evangelism, also leads a group there too called True Culture. I'm only mentioning it because he's in the room with us too.
Amen.
We do love Eddie a lot.
He's why the intro got messed up.
Yeah, he made us laugh, dude. It freaking got us all nuts. Anyways, go ahead, Judah, drop it on us.
And so I was reading in Jeremiah a few months back, and this verse just so stood out to me. It's Jeremiah 23, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. And so even in the Old Testament, it shows that a prophet is not just one who just gives words. It's one who comes and turns people away from evil things, turns them away from evil thinking and evil mindsets into the word of God. And I just see so many prophets that are... I get a little annoyed, but anyways, they're just giving all these weird words, and they're degrading, like the ones who are giving, like, here's your daily word from the Lord. Like, come on, and they're so vague. And I know this applies to you, and it can apply to anybody. It's blanket. Like
you are going to use the restroom today.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a powerful one.
We've become fortune cookie prophets.
Yeah.
And that is so demeaning. when the true prophetic should point people to Jesus. We've made it such a, I just hear the Lord, he's just saying over you, you're just going to have such a great life. The Lord's going to do great things in you. He has a great call. That's so blanket and so big. But if you say it confidently enough, people who are going through something will grab onto it. And you know, it totally makes sense to me. We sound just like the astrologers who are like, oh, here's my sign. And they said this today. And it's so wrong. When it comes to it, we should hold our words. And when the Lord is truly speaking, it's going to reflect Jesus. Yeah. It's going to point people back to him. The Old Testament prophets pointed people to Jesus. In the future, we point to the Jesus who has come and wow. who will come again. And that should turn people away from their evil ways and their evil deeds because they won't be so focused on themselves.
Yeah. Come on, man. That's powerful. And just like, this is why I love Judas so much, just the humility. It's hard to find people who are gifted and humble at the same time. And if you can operate, and like, that's my prayer for everyone in the body is that, man, we're confident in the gift that God has given us, but recognizing it's a gift, meaning that this gift, it's not something I created on my own. It's what the Lord gave, and being humble that it's, that gift isn't even really for you. It's for the body. And when you can operate in this and come in this kind of place of where you don't have to be extra or be weird in order to gratify yourself. You know, I love it in Matthew 6, you know, verse 1-6, it talks about, you know, the Pharisees, man, when they prayed out loud, they blew the trumpets when they gave, they just, you know, they made it a show and they made it about themselves. But it's like when you can get to a place of it's not about you, it's about you, but it's not about you. But like, it's about you that God loves you and he died for you, but it's not about you when it comes to giving the gifts and expressing his love to others. You're a microphone. And just like this microphone is doing for us, it's meant to capture something. When I speak in a mic on stage, what is it meant to do? It's not meant to change what I'm saying or make a different word or make a different sound. It's just meant to make it out loud. It's meant to, you know, it being, what's the word I'm looking for? It's making it loud. That's, I don't know why I can't think of the other word. It's exemplifying my voice. And that's what we should be. We're just exemplifiers of God's voice. You know, he's speaking through us. And anyways, this is really good stuff, Judah. Like, what are just some quick, man, like things, just lightning round. If someone wants to grow in the prophetic, I know we talked about like getting in the word, hearing his voice, but is there anything else? Like if someone's just saying, I really want to grow in the prophetic.
Well, as you're getting in the word and trying to hear his voice, step out. I have a friend who started journaling and writing down and actually writing down his conversations with the Lord. And then he started writing down what he was hearing for people. And then he started giving those words to people. And first he would get someone who's a little bit like, he gave one to me and he's like, does that sound accurate? And it was actually one for me. And I was like, it sounds accurate and good to me. And so it just comes through that trial and error. And there's one important thing the Lord always tells me. Watch what goes in your eyes and in your ears, right? And there's a verse, Proverbs 4:23, I think. 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus said out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
And so, especially if you're sensitive to things, there's times where I can tell I'm taking in too much of something that is not good because it's swaying me one way and it's giving me, And so, but it gives me you know, that double-mindedness where I'm beginning to reason outside of what he's saying.
Wow.
And so those times I have to humble myself and be like, I got to step back from this and this and this and this, because I am sensitive to things and can be affected by them. And so if there's things in your life, and I'm not going to tell you what they are, ask the Lord and be like, Lord, what do I need to get out of my life that's just distracting me so much? Mm. Get those things out of there so you can hear clearly.
Yeah.
Right. And those, and because it's not too difficult. I don't have here's a 5-step plan to do it, but you have to hear his voice and have relationship with him. If you're trying to just give words for people and you have no relationship, what are you doing?
Right.
What's your point? Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. Go away from you, worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that. Wow. I'd rather never say a prophetic word again.
Yeah. Wow. man, that is sharp. But man, guys, I encourage you guys to take that challenge and take that, take those things into practice and do it, you know. And all that to say, I'm leading up to the next thing is just our 3-minute challenge. You're just about to share it with us, but I just really want to encourage you guys, man. I'm a big person on this. Like, it makes no sense to just listen to a podcast and just say, oh, that was a good episode, or I was really encouraged. But like, man, take what is being shared and apply it. You know, the first part of growth is finding the knowledge, but the second and the most important part is applying it. And that's generally the biggest gap. And so I just want to tighten up the gap with you with these next 3 minutes. Remember, don't go out real quick. Don't listen to the next podcast. Don't put on some music. You know, before you do anything, take these 3 minutes right now. It's just 3 minutes to do what Judah's about to say.
Yeah. And so as he asked for this, I was just thinking about it. And it goes back once again, I circle a lot on things, but if you struggle to believe what God says about you, after this podcast, turn everything off, get quiet with the Lord, and write down those things you're scared of that he's telling you are for you, that you don't believe. They're too big. Write those things down and begin to challenge yourself to walk in them, to pray about them, to ask the Lord what he is wanting you to do. And if you're like, well, Judah, I've been walking in this and I believe what he's called me to do, and you're confident, and praise the Lord. Try that. And if you don't get anything because you're already walking in it, praise the Lord. Start getting things for other people. Because we are like rivers that flow out to other people. So if you're already confident in who you are, write down words for other people and then give them to people. And even if you need to, if you know someone who's strongly prophetic, ask the Lord for a word for them or get them along with you as you go give that word, so they can be like, man, that was almost right on. I really hear your heart. I feel like it could have went this way. So you can get constructive criticism. You can actually get constructive criticism on your prophetic words.
Yeah.
So those would be the challenges I'd have for you.
No, that's really good, guys. I encourage you guys to apply that. Do it, do it, do it. It's going to be awesome. Thank you guys for tuning in. Judah, thank you for being on.
Always.
Yeah. Well, we love you guys. Peace.
See ya.